Appendix. Teaching your dog stay as an exercise in emotional control. With any dog, the key to a good stay is to start by asking for micro-stays, in which you expect your dog to remain in place for the briefest of moments. Start by calling your dog to you and asking her to sit or lie down. Say stay in a quiet, low voice and hold your left hand out facing forward, like a traffic cop stopping cars at an intersection. As soon as she's settled, even for an instant, release her with a clear verbal sign such as okay or free. Praise her quietly and give her a tiny tasty treat with your right hand. Remember that the exercise is about emotional control, so don't praise your dog so enthusiastically that she gets too excited. If you think about it, she hasn't done much because if you were smart, you released her before she was going to get up anyway. She has learned something, though. She's learned that there's a fun game afoot and that the noise coming out of your mouth and the movement of your hand could be very interesting indeed. After you've repeated this successfully two or three times, ask her to stay for 1 to 2 seconds. Now you're going to give her a treat while she's staying because that's the behavior you want to reinforce. Ask for the stay with your voice, low and quiet, and with the palm of your left hand facing toward her. Rock back one small step to give her a little room. Looming over a dog can make her nervous. Then, keeping your left hand up to block any forward motion on her part, slide your body forward and with an underhanded motion, give her a treat with your right hand. Be sure to move the treat all the way to her mouth rather than forcing her to get up to get it. For some reason, most novice trainers stop short, and I routinely have to explain the importance of moving one's hand all the way to the dog's mouth. It's one of the most common mistakes that people make, so watch out for it. Some dogs will try to get up once they get the treat, especially if they've been taught that the treat is the end of the exercise. To be most useful, stay should mean don't get up until I say so. So if your dog starts to get up after getting a treat, you should respond by rocking your body forward, both hands extended with palms forward in the universal stop signal until she settles. Use your powers of observation to watch for the slightest backward lean on her part, indicating she is responding to your signal. The instant she does so, immediately rock your own body backward and drop your hands to your side to take off the pressure. Wait a moment for her to settle, and then release her before she gets up again herself. This time say, "Okay," in a bored, bland voice and turn and walk away. After she gets up, don't pet her. Fuss over her, or give her another treat. This is hard for people to do. They either want to pat their dog on the head, which most dogs hate, or praise her to the skies. But you're trying to teach your dog that the fun part is staying still, not getting up when released. So give her treats while she's staying still, not when she gets up. It doesn't take long for dogs to catch on, and if there are no distractions, you can end up with a dog who doesn't get up even after you release her. That's fine. Your release should mean do what you want, not get up this instant. I love it when dogs stay in place because that's evidence they've learned that staying in place is a great thing to do. After all, that's the whole idea, right? Teaching your dog that it feels good to control her impulses and stay still, even when she didn't want to at first. Once you get this habit established, it can have long-lasting effects in all kinds of situations, by helping your dog learn to control her emotions when you want her to. There will be times during practice sessions when your dog gets up and goes past you before you can respond. Just lure her back to where she was with the treat, like someone luring a donkey with a carrot. Avoid repeating the word stay. That just starts everything all over again and doesn't teach the dog what stay really means. Not repeating the cue is also hard for people to do, so pay special attention to it when you're practicing. See if you can get a friend or family member to watch you. We all get better faster if we have someone watch us and act as a coach. Once the dog is lured back to the original spot, ask the dog to sit or lie down by pantomiming a visual signal or tapping the floor in front of her. It's also important to get the dog back to the original spot in which she was told to stay. I think dogs are conscious of their location in space at all times, and if a dog learns that stay means stay still for a moment, then get up and sneak in a couple of steps before your owner can stop you, you're going to be in trouble down the road. Personally, I love dogs who test the definition of stay by crawling forward with their bellies still firmly pressed against the floor. "I'm still lying down," they seem to say as they and their Cheshire Cat grin creep forward. I always grin back while I gently move into their space and use body blocks to move them back to their original spot. This part of stay is easy and fun for most of us, unless we have one of those rocket-propelled dogs who can't stay still even for a second. In that case, say, "Stay," then release instantly with an okay in the same breath, and immediately leave the room to search out a professional dog trainer. You wouldn't think twice about asking a coach to work with your child if he or she wanted to learn a sport, so don't expect yourself to be able to train an advanced model dog without help. Next steps. Lucky for us, it turns out to be trivial to teach most dogs to stay for a few seconds when you've got treats in your pocket and there's nothing else going on. You can get that accomplished in a session or two with most dogs. This, of course, is how you should start because you want to set your dog up to win so that you can reinforce her for the right response. But most of the effort of teaching a stay involves asking a dog to remain in place for gradually increasing lengths of time, or to stay while she's distracted by something else. Staying for 30 seconds when the two of you are alone in the kitchen is one thing. Staying for 5 seconds while two other dogs romp together in the next room is another. I wouldn't expect the best dogs to be able to manage that much emotional control until they've had months or even years of training. A stay with no distractions is a first-grade exercise, while staying in the middle of chaos is more like graduate school. Most of us tend to get dogs started in the equivalent of first or second grade and then immediately expect PhD work out of them, having skipped junior high, high school, and college. Avoid that mistake by being thoughtful about what level of distraction your dog has mastered. Help her by asking her to stay during distractions that are gradually more and more difficult, always making her glad she stayed when asked. While you're training, be aware that there are three different things that can make staying, when asked, difficult. Distinguish between the duration of the stay, how long she stays, the level of distraction, what's going on around her to cause her to want to get up, and the distance between you, how far away you are from her. Spend the majority of your training time on distractions. That's the part that is hardest for most dogs. Come to think of it, wouldn't that be the hardest part for you too? Most people expect dogs to stay in situations that their children couldn't handle, so don't hesitate to be constructively anthropomorphic and put yourself in your dog's place when you ask for a stay. It's worth the time and energy to write down 10 situations your dog might encounter and rank their difficulty level from 1 to 5. Maintaining a 5-minute stay in the family room during a quiet evening might be a 2, while staying for 2 seconds when company comes might be a 5. Be sure that you don't ask for a 5 if you haven't yet worked through a 4. Your dog will learn fastest if you only push the envelope on one aspect of difficulty at a time. In other words, if you're asking for a stay when there are a lot of distractions around, keep the duration short. Work on longer durations when there are few or no distractions around. Decide for yourself how important distance is. I don't need my dogs to stay when I'm far away, so I rarely practice it. But it's important in obedience competitions. Always be aware of your dog's current level of ability and, like any good coach, push her just a little beyond it in some sessions. Let her relax a bit in others. Give her lots of reasons to try her hardest and don't take minor setbacks too seriously. They happen to all of us. Can soccer players always make the perfect shot, even after years of practice? Eventually, work your way up to a dog who can do a half-hour downstay in the living room when things are quiet around the house. Even then, continue occasional brief downstays scattered throughout the day as a way of helping your dog calm herself before she starts to spiral up in excitement when visitors come or she's ready to go on a walk. This can be especially useful during play sessions with other dogs, in which emotional arousal can turn into nasty playground fights. If you have more than one dog or a household with one dog and young children, a well-placed downstay can do wonders to calm everything down. My next book will be about teaching downstays to children. It will be very, very long.